Grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Today, our message turns to chapter 3 of the story, this 31-week adventure that we're taking through the Bible. And we've made it now near the end of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and we've made it to this amazing story of Joseph. We've had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now Jacob with his 12 sons. The youngest son becomes, or I guess I should say the next to youngest son, Joseph, becomes the center of the action of God in his story. You know, we've had this rhythm where we've talked about the lower story of what one particular character has gone through, as well as the upper story, what God is doing in his overarching centuries-long, millennial-long plan of salvation and life and eternity. And we see that perhaps in one of the most clearest ways of what God does in and through the life of Joseph. Before we dig in, though, too much on Joseph, I think we have to spend just a tiny bit of time being curious about this gospel reading. This reading where Jesus says to us, and just to read a tiny bit of it again, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. So here's my pop quiz today. Was Jesus writing that for A, mothers, or for B, Joseph, and all of us who go through trouble like Joseph? Well, I think you know the answer. Although moms, we celebrate you today. We are grateful for all the sacrificing, for all the forgiving, for all the giving, for all the loving that you do, have done, for all of your motherhood career. We really give thanks and praise for you. And as you think of this story, moms, I'm sure when you hear it, when you hear that a father had a favorite out of 12 kids, you're probably thinking, oh no, this isn't going to go well. You've seen what happens when there's a favorite. And the heartache, the headaches, the difficulties that can be there. But you also, moms, I bet could relate with Jacob in a very special way in today's story. When he had the heartache of losing a child, or so he thought. That is a heartache that we pray no mom ever has to experience, but my heart is especially tuned in and in prayer for those of you moms who have had a child go into eternity before you. Such a thing is such pain. The mother of Jesus knew your pain. God himself knows your pain. And God promises that there is glory, that there is beauty, that there is a reunion on the other side. And at this time, moms, and some of you are thinking of your losses, we ask you to hold on to that truth. And hold on to this truth that we'll also look at a little bit in Romans chapter 8. But moms, think of that joy. When Jacob got to see his son Joseph again, when he was reunited with him, when his family was whole again. That joy, I see it in Mary Beth, how much she loves it when all of us are together. And I think there's just in a very special way, moms, you have some connecting points with today's chapter in the story. But we're getting a little bit out of sequence, and maybe we ought to think about this. Maybe we ought to explore it just a little bit further and go into depth and think of this struggle that Joseph goes through. He is his dad's favorite, and because of that, his older brothers hate him. And instead of choosing to kill him outright, they do the next worst thing, which is sell him off into slavery. And there, Joseph suffers. 22 years of being a slave, of being in jail, of being head of a household, and then being in jail again. On and on it goes. 22 years. All because of hatred. If there's one way we can make the meaning of Jesus' gospel reading about forgiving others and not judging others, if there's one example of that in the scriptures. Here it is in this Old Testament reading. If only Joseph's brothers had forgiven him for his immaturity, his pride, his arrogance of sharing his dream with them. If only there could be forgiveness at the end of the story, when Joseph meets his brothers, the scoundrels, and they're still lying, and they're still covering up, and they're still blaming others, including each other. This story has so many messes, and yet it has so many blessings. One of the things to notice in the midst of it is how faithful Joseph was. Whether he was a slave, or he was in jail, or he was working for Pharaoh, it didn't matter his circumstance. Joseph just kept doing the next right thing. Godly thing. And that integrity was what really something I think God holds up of Joseph throughout all of these centuries for us to notice. And that integrity is a part of what God used to position Joseph exactly where he wanted him, that he could go from being in prison to being second in command to Egypt's king, the Pharaoh. And by doing so, saving thousands, if not millions, of lives of the Egyptians, as well as the lives of many others, including his own family. Joseph's integrity positioned him, and God used it and honored it and blessed him for it. I believe God will do that for your integrity too, as you and I choose to do the next right godly thing. God will take that, he'll bless it, and he will magnify that blessing. We may not know how far it goes. We may not know if it'll be a part of how people get fed for 7 years because of a famine or a pandemic. We may not know how far your act of faithfulness goes as you touch the children in your family's moms or dads, as you impact the grandchildren and great-grandchildren that God blesses you with as they see you doing the next right thing. The next right godly thing. A second thing that I think is so important for us is an awareness of God working even in hard circumstances. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and most of us in our lifetime haven't been anything through something like this. Maybe the polio scare in the earlier part of the 20th century, but this is far beyond that in terms of the lockdown of our country, of the loss of tens of millions of jobs, of so much uncertainty in our future, and the disease still growing right now in Texas. In this unprecedented and fearful time, it feels a lot like the hard times that Joseph went through. Those times of suffering and of certainty, not knowing what would happen next. But there was something Joseph displayed. By him doing the next right godly thing, it was flowing from the faith that was in his heart. The faith that understood that God was still in charge. I think when Joseph had his chance he could have come down on his brothers like a ton of bricks. He had his chance to do that as the second in command in Egypt could have crushed them like bugs while they were bowing down to him. Instead, Joseph had an awareness. God's been working in this the whole time. What they did to me, God was working and using it to bring about good. The harm and the hurt they did to me was to get me in this position so that I could do good for others. Joseph had an awareness, even in the catastrophe, even in the hard times, that he was working for God, and most importantly, that God was still working in and for him. God's not done with you yet either. In this pandemic, in any sickness, in any weakness, in any loss of job, God is not done in you and working for you and beside you. So may we have that awareness that Jesus is trying to stir in us when he says, don't judge. You know, it's be quick to forgive even your enemies or your own family members who have treated you like an enemy, as in the case of Joseph and his brothers, maybe in the case of you and your siblings or children or whomever. Be quick to forgive, because part of God's plan is restoration and blessing. Restoration and blessing that comes because He was so quick to forgive us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He was so quick to forgive that the Word of God tells us He remembers our sins no more. How's that for amazing grace? It may be very hard for you and I to forget what it is someone has done to us. And I think what God means by remember our sins no more is that He isn't worried about dealing with any judgment about that sin. He isn't keeping a record of that wrong anymore. He is aware that it happened, but He chooses to look over it, to look past it, to focus instead on His Son Jesus on the cross. And that victory that Jesus won for us on the cross, that victory of eternal life that He released for us at Easter, is waiting for us. Waiting for us along with this promise. A promise that Romans 8 says that I think sometimes gets misunderstood. That God works all things together for the good of His people, to those who have been called according to His purposes. Sometimes people hear that and they think that God, everything God does is good and everything in our lives is good. That's just not true. But what it means is that through the disasters, through the betrayals, through the pains and the losses, and through the successes, God works all of it and His upper story never stops. We may see a tangled mess down here in our lower story, but God continues with His ways that are higher than our ways, with His thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. God continues to work out good. We may see it in this life, like Joseph got to. After his 22 years of suffering, there was 71 years of blessings, restoration to his family, joyful days, success because of his relationship and his serving of Pharaoh. 22 years of tough times, 71 years of blessings, and then eternity beside that. I think the same holds true for us as well, friends. Whether we see the good that happens in this life, or we see it all worked out and woven together in heaven, God promises He is working for the good. That means He won't let go. That means He won't stop loving. And that means you and I can be assured that God is still in charge. When our lower story is chaotic or clouded, be sure of the upper story of God and His faithfulness, of His closeness and caring, and of His absolute certainty that He will work it all out as He brings us into the good of heaven and eternity and flying away to be home with Jesus and with all those that we love. Joseph was able to show that grace to his brothers. I pray we will be able to do the same to those in our lives that we need to forgive. And I'm quite sure that God will give us the strength to do that as we trust in Him as the author of our story, as the lover of our souls, and as the one who is always working out good. May God strengthen you this Mother's Day. Bless you all, moms. May He strengthen us all as He weaves the good of His salvation story into our lives here, now, and forever. Amen. Please join me now for prayer.